Hi, this is Shannon from Voices of Defiance, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 72 on Avengers Age of Ultron. This podcast is recorded on Sunday, May 3rd, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, and the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because of Hawkeye's farm of sexual tension.
If you'd like to talk to us about farms of sexual tension, you can find all of our contact information on our website, legendsofshield.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also find us on Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast, Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tumblr, legendsofshield.tumblr.com, and YouTube, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We also have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com, or if you have a smartphone, you can search the TapTalk app for Gunna Geek, and that's all one word.
Today on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we will be talking about Avengers Age of Ultron. We will also be discussing your feedback and a couple other surprises along the way. And as announced last podcast, we are offering a giveaway for a Marvel crate. It's the Avengers Marvel crate. It's got a Veronica in there, which is the Hulkbuster suit. It's got a Dorbs of Ultron in there. It's got a t-shirt. It's got an Avengers comic book in there. So all sorts of great things. It's free. And if you want to win it, go to our iTunes page, give us a funny 5-star review, and we will announce the winner on our podcast number 76 on May 27th. Don't forget, once you leave the feedback, to actually tell us that you did, because there's no way to link back the feedback to who gave it. So give us a Facebook post, give us a tweet, email us, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, and just let us know that you have given us the feedback, and we will put you in to win your free Marvel crate. We do have a short promo that Lauren would like to give. You ready, Lauren?
Ready.
Comicpalooza 2015 is almost here. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events. Rowdy professional wrestlers. Raucous roller derby girls. Literally thousands of hours of programming and so much more. Remember, Comicpalooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
That sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah, speaking of Hawkeye's farmhouse of sexual tension, Jeremy Renner's going to be there. Peggy Carter, Haley Atwell's going to be there.
Woohoo!
Yes, Melinda May, the queen of the podcast, is going to be there.
Yeah.
So they just keep adding more and more people, and I just keep getting more excited. So
woohoo!
Yes, and I will be covering it for the Gunna Geek Network, so expect me to bring lots of recorded goodies for y'all.
Awesome.
And maybe, if I can swing it, some more swag for giveaways.
Oh, giveaway swag. Awesome. So we all went out and saw this little thing this weekend. Just a short little...
like an indie film kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing major.
2-hour and 20-minute extravaganza. We talked about it before the cast. I heard the ATGN that recorded earlier today. Apparently, nobody in the United States, at least on the 2D side, saw a Star Wars trailer, but we all did see Avengers Age of Ultron.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
And I did see the Star Wars trailer, but I saw it in IMAX 3D.
See, that's what I thought. You had to do 3D.
Hatred is what I have for you.
Yeah. We just have to go to IMAX.
Out of curiosity, what trailers did y'all get?
Ooh, a Fantastic Four, Ant-Man, Fury Road, Mad Max, a few others. I don't remember them all. It was basically everything but Star Wars.
I got Fantastic Four and Ant-Man, and then I got Tomorrowland or something like that, the new one with George Clooney.
That's Tomorrowland, yeah.
Yeah, and there's another one that I don't remember anything about, but there was another one.
Okay, I got Fantastic Four, I got Star Wars, I got, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes preview of Tomorrowland, which looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was good. They lasted 25 minutes in my theater.
Yeah, we didn't get Ant-Man, which I was kind of surprised about.
Yeah.
You didn't.
We didn't get Batman versus Superman.
I didn't have that one either.
No, I didn't have that either. You see, that's the disadvantage of having an eye problem and not being able to see it in 3D. That just sucks. Because we don't get all these cool trailers. But anyway, it was a cool movie. I liked it. What did you guys think of Avengers?
I had fun. I had a lot of fun watching it.
I did too. I have a lot of notes.
I do too.
I don't have notes. So I'm going to be working off of memory. Because I only got to see it the one time because, yesterday I spent all day, well, all afternoon, because the morning I was lazy and slept most of the morning. but I spent all afternoon getting a tattoo.
Yeah, which we'll have to make sure we link to it. Talking about trailers, Adam in the chat room and at Chatwing on GunnaGeek.com/live said he saw Ant-Man, Fantastic Four, Batman vs. Superman, Tomorrowland, and some random horror movie, which, yeah, I agree, it was random and it just sucked being there, but okay. After that, we went right into Avengers, and it went literally right into Avengers. What do you guys think of that opening?
I liked it. I don't know what I was expecting in terms of the movie starting out, but I liked that it just wasted no time.
No, it went right in there.
It's like, hey, you want a superhero movie? How about a superhero movie? Boom.
It's like we went directly from the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then boom, we were here.
Exactly. They're like, okay, you want Sokovia? Here's Sokovia.
Yeah. At least the, what is that? A school? A prison? I'm not sure what the heck it is. Outside of Sokovia.
Castle.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. Strucker's Castle.
If you're going to be doing mad science, you got to do it in an appropriate mad science setting. So why not do it in an old Eastern European castle, you know, for old time's sake?
Just for kicks and giggles, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Language.
Okay. This brings up one of my first complaints, sort of. I mean, first of all, okay, so granted that language thing as a running joke was kind of fun. And at the very end of the movie, when it turned out that there was no shawarma, somebody yelled, you know, a swear. And then everybody in the theater who was left, including me, yelled language. But I feel like Cap's characterization in this movie was a step backwards, especially after Winter Soldier.
Well, he was taking the place of Director Fury, basically. He's running the team. Even Stark says, yeah, he's in charge. So it's a little bit different persona. He's not working within the system. He is the system.
I guess I can see that, but I still feel like he was being written more as a foil instead of a full character. I think.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. I realized that I was looking forward to seeing him being written and directed by the Russo brothers again.
Yeah. Well, and that definitely, we'll get to that later. That was set up in this movie quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was.
Right.
Well, and it's an ensemble movie. You can only focus on so many characters. We've got new characters to introduce. I think Cap just kind of took a backseat this ride. Cap and Thor both.
Yes. Wow. That was another kind of meh.
They were still focused on it. It was a different focus. I mean, Thor with the whole water pit thing, I have no idea what that was.
Well, that was another big criticism I have. I'm like, what was this? So apparently, they're in the Joss Whedon 3-hour director's cut. There's a lot more with the water pit of destiny.
Okay.
So I still don't know what that was about. I wish there was a way to work all the Thanos stuff more organically into the plot, but I did like the admittedly short shirtless scene that we got.
You know, I was a little disappointed that we didn't pan around and get a good view of the front.
Well, apparently there is a lot more shirtless in the director's cut, but
you know what else was sad? There's that scene where Cap is ripping apart the log with his bare hands. And I've seen the GIF so many times, I was ready to just watch it happen like 3 or 4 times in a row.
I did like that we finally get a bit more context behind why he's just suddenly so angry that he's able to do that.
Yeah. Well, all the promo scenes, all the little trailers that we've seen, whatever, they were well done. Every single one of them was slightly out of context from the actual movie. So it was like you were watching it for the first time in a lot of cases.
Yeah, but back to the open. Again, it's we don't have to waste time with the setup. We know why this team's together. We have a sense, especially those who've been watching the show, of what they're doing, hunting down these last few Hydra bases with empowered people and everything. And getting to see everybody just jump into action and that one slow motion shot of everybody in line that you've seen in all the promos. That was just, it was so fun.
Yeah, it was.
Just seeing everybody and seeing all the little team up moments like Cap's shield plus Thor's lightning equals awesome.
Yeah. Could somebody take care of that bunker for me, please?
Thank you.
And I guess, as we know, Scarlett Johansson was pregnant during the filming. I don't know in what stages she was pregnant throughout, which scenes or whatever, but definitely a different look at the Black Widow because of that in this. Couple of scenes probably should have gone a little bit differently. There's probably some more fight scenes that she should have been involved in.
Yeah, in retrospect, that probably is a lot of the reasons why they had to write around her.
Mm-hmm. Or at least film around her.
Both, yeah. I would say.
Right. Literally, figuratively, whatever.
Okay, so at the beginning, I don't think that I realized this before the movie, but the twins signed on to be experimented on.
Yeah.
They weren't lab rats.
I thought I mentioned that from when I read the prequel comic, that there were protesters in this country, in Sokovia, and they were approached with a bunch of other people to be like, well, how would you like to have a chance to make a difference? They're like, okay, which was one of the huge complaints that a lot of people have about this movie, because Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the comics are the children of Holocaust survivors. Their father is Jewish and their mother is Roma. And having them actually sign up to be Nazi experiments,
yeah,
rubs a lot of people the wrong way, very justifiably so.
Well, that gets into the whole thing that they're owned by two different movie franchises. It's probably one. I mean, we want to get to it right now with Quicksilver, or you want to wait?
Yeah. I mean, we can.
Okay, so yeah. Quicksilver has been in both the X-Men Days of Future Past movie as a character and in Avengers Age of Ultron, and it was a slightly different characterization, definitely a different backstory, and they got rid of him at the end of the... Well, okay, so we didn't see a grave, and even if we did see a grave, that's whatever. And Vision's right there, so who knows if you can save his life or not. But the thought was that he was dead at the end of the movie, and the thinking that I've seen a lot of online is he was killed off because he was a main character, or at least a main side character in the Fox universe with X-Men.
That's what I've heard as well. I was reading a lot of spoilers for this movie, and everyone was like, they're going to kill somebody. It's either going to be Hawkeye or it's going to be Quicksilver. And when I went in, as soon as they start building up the whole Hawkeye has a family and Hawkeye has this and Hawkeye has that, I'm like,
oh, he's not going to make it to the end of the movie.
No, I was thinking it's too predictable. They're going to kill Quicksilver.
Really?
Oh,
I was thinking Hawkeye the entire time. I was
exactly.
Like, bye bye, yeah. Hawkeye.
They're building you up to make you think it's going to be Hawkeye. So, naturally, if they want to surprise you, they're going to kill the other guy.
And then when Ultron was coming in with the Quinjet and with the Gatling gun, just taking out everything in front of him, I thought that was it. And then Quicksilver came in and took the bullet, so.
I thought Hawkeye might die, and I honestly thought that the Scarlet Witch might die, because I was like, oh, she's way too powerful to keep around.
No, Joss Whedon loves Scarlet Witch too much.
We all know he kills what he loves.
Well, I'm glad to have her around. It's another female to have on the team.
Yeah, me too, but... Like, especially when she's mind-controlling an entire village of people and then just taking out waves of Ultron's dummies, I was like, she might be too strong for this.
Oh, Chris in the chat said, Quicksilver does everything quick, including getting killed off.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Oh, yeah.
He's a leaf on the wind.
He's more like a leaf in a like a jet propulsion laboratory.
True. He is 12 minutes older. Was it 12 minutes or 12 seconds?
12 minutes.
12 minutes. And actually, in the comics, Wanda's older than he is.
Oh, figure. So, their time when they flipped, when she sees what's really in his mind, because an actual biological body is being created with his construct inside it. Do you think that at that point in time, they're like, okay, our hatred of Stark has to go by the wayside and we're going to help here to prevent the extinction of mankind, including themselves, I guess.
Right.
Okay. So, have we seen a Stark Iron Man in sentry mode before? I think we have, but I couldn't remember it.
We started seeing that in Iron Man 3.
Okay. Right. That's what I thought.
Yes.
Can we talk for a second about how they didn't say the thing?
Yes.
They did not say the thing.
Oh, it's like, oh, they're going to say the thing? Oh,
and then
never mind.
They assemble tease you at the end of the movie.
I know. Avengers, boom, nothing.
Avengers, and then he opens his mouth, clearly forms the shape of saying, and then boom. And everyone in my theater groaned.
I know.
Well, and a couple times my theater groaned, Avengers, time to work for a living. Oh, come on.
Okay, so audience reactions. How were the audience reactions when y'all went to go see it?
Well, first of all, my audience was very receptive to me because I was wearing my Captain Geeky jersey and I got asked by a couple dozen people where I got it and everything. And I did a little twirl and I got a theater-wide applause. So, you know, I felt part of the Avengers for that. But aside from that, it was one of the first showings. I went to 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday and it was a little bit subdued. But they laughed at all the points that I had already seen in the trailers. So I don't know if they were paying attention. They weren't paying attention. They just thought it was funny in the moment. It wasn't a huge reaction theater-wide. I'm curious as to what your theaters were like, though.
I saw the very first showing on not even midnight. It's like, what, 7 p.m. on Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my theater was amped. Like, they came in and they were ready to have fun. And I got a lot of laughs and stuff at all the places you're supposed to laugh and, you know, oh, no's and things like that.
Yeah. Mine, again, also first show 7 o'clock on Thursday. Well, first of all, the entire theater was just packed full of people. Everyone was wearing geeky shirts. Everyone was wearing Marvel shirts. There was a little girl in line ahead of me that was wearing a Marvel shirt and I was wearing my Marvel shirt. So we were both like, I like your shirt. So when we went inside, everyone's sitting down, everyone's watching the movie, and everyone was just at all the, well, first of all, everyone cheered at the Star Wars trailer. And then
I so hate you.
And then everyone was just loud, just at all the right parts. The reaction that I remember the most, though, is with Vision picking up Mjolnir, everyone went, oh,
yes,
just so loud.
I have a question for you, Lauren. Has Vision held the hammer in the comics?
No, actually.
Okay, I was going to say, I know Beta Ray Bill, and I thought he was the only other one that had ever been able to lift it.
No, Beta Ray Bill has, Cap has, Scarlet Witch has in an alternate timeline.
Black Widow has in an alternate timeline.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Black Widow has. And Chick Thor.
Okay.
That was definitely interesting. I mean, all of a sudden he picks up the hammer and everybody else is like, I don't know. What was it? 10? It must have been like 5 seconds or less.
It was about 5 seconds. It was like a second on every single person's face.
Yeah.
It was, okay. So I guess we could trust him now. At least that's what Thor's like. Well, held the hammer. It's all good.
Yep. I've seen the argument being made that he can do it because he's technically Thor's son. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. You have to be worthy.
Okay. So the mind gem that created Vision, yes, was in the scepter. So does that mean the scepter doesn't work anymore?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
It's been separated. The gem was the important part.
Okay. So Loki's without a scepter permanently now.
Yes.
Yes. No more Loki pokey stick.
Yeah.
Even though he's Odin.
Yes. Loki has his magic. He does not have the mind gem.
Right. Uh-huh. But he does have, what, the Tesseract?
Yes.
Okay.
The Tesseract was returned to, well, no, I think they moved the ether to the collector.
Yeah. The ether was taken to the collector.
The Tesseract has, as far as we know, remained in Asgard.
Right. And then the Nova Corps has the orb.
Yes.
So that's where everything is right now.
And I did see a news story saying there's actually two Infinity Gauntlets in the MCU. There's the one that's...
Yeah, there's the one that Thanos has. And then there's the one that's an Easter egg in Thor when they're in the vault in Asgard. You can see one.
Mm-hmm. Do we know that those are different ones?
There was a news story that came out that confirmed, I forget if it was Kevin Feige or Joss Whedon or somebody, confirmed that there are actually two different Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay.
Adam in the chat says left and right hand.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't check and see which one was left and which one was right.
Well, now I'm going to have to go back and look.
Would it automatically configure to the other side?
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's like latex gloves where you have to Or you can just put them on either way, or...
Yeah, just you gotta get the thumb on the right side.
Yeah.
So, is Thor gonna be at the party?
If he is, I'm going.
I'll let you. Dr. Cho, I'm too busy to go.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, the party scene. Just, I love seeing them. This is, again, my whole thing of, I just want to show the Avengers having a nice, normal, good time. This was why. I love seeing them there. I love seeing Falcon there. I love seeing Rhodey there. I love seeing just everyone hanging out. I loved it.
Okay, did Natasha go behind the bar just to stash a gun there? Because I think she did.
Ooh.
Like, I think that's what she does. Like, she's visiting a new place for the first time. She finds a place to stash a gun.
Like some sort of spy squirrel.
I thought they were just hiding her bulge, maybe.
Well, probably that, too.
Hiding a gun. I didn't think of that. That's a good...
I didn't think of that either, but it's kind of ingenious. Like, because, you know, yeah, you see in the first one when she has the gun under the table. And then here, she has the gun behind the bar. And I'm trying to figure out where, if she has a gun stashed anywhere in Winter Soldier. Well, of course she does. It's
well,
Natasha.
Always, but
right.
But explicitly on scene.
Yeah. Most of Winter Soldier, they're on the run, so she doesn't have a lot of time to, like, stage her surroundings.
But we see both Falcon and...
War Machine.
Yes. Made me so happy.
War Machine jokes usually kill at the parties, but not when there's Avengers stories.
I love that so much.
Quality save, Thor. Quality save.
Just... Anytime they bring in Rhodey, he's such good. Okay, I love Don Cheadle as Rhodey. He's excellent comedy relief. And he's great being serious, and he's great being comedy relief. I love him. Like, Terrence Howard didn't have that same sense of lightheartedness to him.
Right. I mean, he's got gravitas and everything, but he doesn't have the comedic effect.
Yeah. And I don't know if he would have been able to pull that joke off as well, but I really did love it.
Okay, so the whole concept for the party is that they're celebrating the end of Hydra. We know that's not the case.
We know it's not the case. But hey, let them party. I mean,
right.
What I love is, and I know Chris Hemsworth has brought this up in an interview, Thor's casual party wear. So who took him shopping?
Yeah, it's a good
Maria
question.
Hill.
Probably.
Was it Maria? Was it Jane? I think Chris Hemsworth said, I picture that like Jane took him shopping. And
Jane is too busy being the world's renowned expert on the convergence.
Where are the ladies, gentlemen?
I know. I wish they'd been able to bring them.
The question of the franchise. Where are the ladies?
Exactly.
Right.
Maria Hill is my favorite. I wish we got more of her.
Yeah.
She was awesome in The Carrier at the end, too. Taking out that Ultron bot,
seriously.
Murder bot, whatever you want to call it.
Let's call them murder bots. I like murder bots.
Yeah, murder bots. That's great. Banner coined the term. So you're just going to roll over, show everybody your stomach only when I create a murder bot?
Yes. And again, my science bad. Bros.
Oh, the science bros science montage?
Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't make a reference to the term science bros in the movie.
Everyone was thinking it. They didn't have
Everyone was thinking it. I loved them doing their mad science. Okay, a friend of mine texted me after the movie was over, and she's like, here's Age of Ultron in a nutshell. Tony, no. Tony, yes! Tony, no! Tony, yes!
Yes, yes, that is the movie.
Pretty much. He does what he wants to do, and Banner went along with it the first time.
So... there's a joke in Avengers fandom because somebody found a comic from way back in the day where it's Loki running over the Rainbow Bridge yelling, I do what I want. So it's a thing. Loki does what he wants. In this movie, it's Tony Stark yelling, I do what I want and running around with science.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Trying to create that shield around the world.
Tony, why?
I like that they made a couple of jokes in the movie about Avengers kind of having like all these annoying committee rules. Like that's why Tony didn't take it to them. He's like, oh, we'd be mired down in a town hall. And then Cap later is like, it's okay. Nobody's breaking any bylaws. Because in the comics, the Avengers do have like bylaws and committee chairs and...
Well, you have to. I mean, in order to create anything that deals with money or property possession, you need to have a physical organization.
Right. But it's just not something you think about when you think about superheroes.
Yeah, it's like, do you think like the Justice League has subcommittees and it's just one of those things you never think about.
Is there a Justice League? I don't know this thing that you talk about. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you never think about. It's Who's the planning committee? Who's the head of the social events? Who's the HR person?
Maria Hill. Well,
yeah, now we know this.
Well, no, the social event chair is Tony.
Okay, good point.
Well, but he doesn't plan anything. He just says, okay, let's have a party, and it magically happens.
And a party springs forth, fully formed.
Right. So, during this party, which Stan Lee is getting knocked off his butt with Thor juice.
Oh, God. That sounds filthy, by the way.
I guess I'm the king of the filthy stuff on this podcast, but anyway.
Which is kind of funny, because I'm the one who does it on purpose.
Right.
This is my favorite cameo.
So, while they're doing this whole thing, Ultron is being created. He's merging with...
the internet, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so question. Was he just waiting until Tony and Banner weren't there watching over things, or did it actually happen?
The way that I took it was just an unfortunate accident of timing that caused this to just kind of spark up and happen to work while they were out of the room. And because nobody was there to control, okay, very much in a Frankenstein-like situation, because there was no creator there to guide it and to see this thing through its creation, it was left parentless, it was left rudderless, and had to form its own sort of way. And much like Frankenstein, that ended poorly. Except unlike Frankenstein, instead of wandering the world and deciding to, well, no, exactly like Frankenstein, because Ultron was able to do that through the internet and declare vengeance on its creator for creating it. So yeah, basically this is Frankenstein.
Okay.
Yes.
It was a funny Frankenstein, though. He had some wit about him.
He kind of reminded me of Cal.
Yeah, a little bit. I saw somebody, okay, I know a lot of people here like Archer. There was a show, it was kind of the predecessor to Archer. It was on Cartoon Network called Frisky Dingo.
Okay, never saw
it. I love Frisky Dingo. And the bad guy on Frisky Dingo was this guy named Killface. And I saw somebody compare Ultron to Killface, and I'm like, okay, wow, that is actually perfect. So, yeah, if you ever go back and you find Frisky Dingo and you watch it, yes, Ultron is Killface.
Okay.
But, okay, the way that I kind of saw Ultron was, what happens if you took all of Tony's ego and drive and bad impulses and merged it with all the bad parts of the internet, minus maybe some of the porn, and just kind of let it loose on the world and said, go fix everything. And that's about what would happen. Oh, and then give it unlimited resources because it's a robot.
Right. Billions of dollars transferring. I don't get all these shell corporations that are so, finance is so messy.
Keep your friends rich and your enemies rich and wait to find out which is which.
Totally Stark. I'm sorry. It'll get better. I'm sure it'll be fine.
And that's how Claw became a supervillain.
Exactly. I was like, oh, that's how he lost his arm.
Yeah, he lost his arm, so now he's got motivation. He's got billions of dollars, so now he's got resources. He's ready to be a supervillain.
Exactly. We'll see him show up again in Black Panther. It's going to be awesome.
Twirling his mustache.
With the claw hand?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Well, with the sonic weapon arm thingy, maybe?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it suck if they just gave him like a crappy hook?
Oh, it would. Why would you have a crappy hook when you could have a sonic blaster arm?
Looky, looky, who's got hooky? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Veronica, give me a hand. That was so cool. Talking about hands. So Banner goes nuts because Scarlet Witch tees him off.
Messes with people's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch messes with everybody except Hawkeye.
So the whole team is incapacitated and the only thing left is Tony Stark, and they've planned for this contingency. They've got Veronica up in orbit. So the Hulkbuster suit comes down and it has spare parts with it too.
I liked that.
Well, he knew he was going to fight the Hulk.
I know, you kind of need to have lots of spare parts when you're fighting the Hulk, considering he just gets stronger when he gets angrier.
Right. Go to sleep. I'm sorry.
And I really, okay, one of the things that I did like about this movie is how they are very, very sure they're trying to minimize civilian casualties. Tony is very clearly trying to keep him away from civilian populations. Bruce is very clear that he doesn't want to be involved in fights when they're anywhere near civilian populations. And again, the last third of the movie, they're like, okay, we need to evacuate everybody. I really did like that. They're like, we're the heroes. This is what we do. We help people. We don't just smash everything up, even though they do.
Yeah, apparently the Iron Legionnaires weren't well received, though.
Well, yeah, because previously Stark weapons were used to bomb their city.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Like, if you notice, there's a lot of graffiti in the background with specifically the Iron Man armor being spray painted over.
Yeah.
None of the other Avengers, just the Iron Man armor.
Well, because Stark created the weapons that destroyed Sokovia in the past.
Exactly. Oh. And I had been wondering about that before. I'm like, why do they hate the Avengers? And then when they say, oh, because some of the bombs that didn't explode, they were able to say, oh, it's Stark Industries that made these weapons.
Right, so they really don't hate the Avengers. The twins hate Stark.
Right. Stark in specific, and they don't like the rest of the Avengers because they're willing to work with them.
Mm. They're pretty special people, yeah. So, okay, back to the fight with the Hulkbuster and Hulk. Did Hulk lose a tooth in that? Is that even possible?
Yes.
I thought that was weird.
I mean, I thought the Hulk was the Hulk. Indestructible.
Maybe he's like a shark, though, where the teeth just keep coming back forward and regrowing. Yeah,
could be. As he transforms back, the tooth regrows.
Yeah.
Don't mention Puny Banner. I'll have to remember that. Don't mention Puny Banner. Okay.
Yeah, it did seem to just piss him off even worse. I did like also with the Hulkbuster armor, the arms kind of transformed into grabbers to try to immobilize him.
Yeah.
It was a good idea.
In theory.
Didn't quite work out.
Well, how much punishment does the Hulk have to have before you knock him out? Quite a bit, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you have a lullaby, which they didn't because she was incapacitated.
Oh, yeah. No, the Avengers, the rest of them were pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yay, Hayley Atwell cameo.
I know. Yeah, it was sad. It was, I guess, if you look at the dream for Stark, it was tipping off, was it the Secret Wars, I believe? Because Cap's shield breaks in the Secret Wars, I think.
That I don't know for sure.
Okay.
It's mostly just screwing with Tony.
Yeah.
It was his turn.
Well, there were real things. Like in the Thor one, it was looking at Ragnarok.
Ragnarok,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all this like combination of dreams and their of the future and their insecurities.
Yeah.
Because with Cap, it's this dance hall and it's everyone's dying in there. So it's, yeah, again, he's alone. Everyone he knows and loves is dead. And with Tony is, again, everyone that he knows and loves is dead, and he wasn't able to protect them, and he's left with the responsibility and the guilt. With Scarlet Witch, I keep saying Scarlet Witch. It's Black Widow.
We have two girls now. You've got to keep them straight.
It's color identifier, so I keep getting confused. With Natasha, I'm just going to use their names. With Natasha, again, it's back to this first violation of her identity that turned her into a killer. And give her all these initial traumas. And with
Thor?
Yeah, with Thor, it's the whole burden of responsibility and fear that he's going to lead everyone the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's going to die. And then, of course, with the little glimpses of what is going to come, possibly because he's not human. I don't know.
As far as Thor is concerned, Stark even mentions the man who refused to be king or wouldn't be king or something like that. So they were definitely playing it up. I don't think there was anything in this movie that wasn't meant to tie into something else. You can go into one line of dialogue and you can point to other things going on, either past, present, or future in the Marvel universe. So the second time I saw it, I was really absorbing all the interconnectivities that was in the movie that I just passed by the first time. This is a lockbox of a lot of stuff, and I want to go see it again because I'm sure I missed some stuff along the way as well. But in the meantime, as long as I'm talking so much, just remember there's no monologuing.
Oh, yeah. They specifically lampshade that with the whole, oh, this is the part where I tell you my evil plan. And then they fight.
I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to take this time to explain my evil plan.
Definitely fun.
But then we get to go to Clint's house.
Yes, the farmhouse of sexual tension.
She's an agent. These are smaller agents.
I actually thought she was an agent as well. I'm like, okay, this has to be something. And then the kids show up. I'm like, oh, okay, no.
So, okay, technically, Laura is Hawkeye's wife from the Ultimate Universe.
Okay.
So this is a comic character.
Was Bobby and Hawkeye ever married in that universe?
In Ultimate Verse, I don't think so.
Because didn't they refer to that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all that we know is that Hunter is not Bobby's first marriage or only marriage.
Right.
So they could have been married, you know, like out of high school or something.
Ooh, even before the Avengers? That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, if they want to go that way at all.
But that would mean Bobby would be really old because it kept on referring to Hawkeye being the old man.
Well, no, I mean her out of high school. Yeah, he's clearly older than she is.
Right.
But.
Okay, so the overarching thing for this is, in my opinion, setting up for a civil war because this is something that he's been trying to hide, not necessarily that he's got a masked identity or whatever, but he's trying to hide this. And I think it.
Yeah, he's trying to keep work and home separate.
Right. And I think this will be a key thing to set off a little bit of the Civil War. I don't think they introduced it for no reason whatsoever.
Agreed. I think that because we see that he's the first one with really a separate work and home life.
Or any home life.
Yeah, any home life. And that's such a shock to everyone else, except Natasha, because they're friends. They've known each other a long time.
They're BFFs.
And Natasha's like, your kid's going to be named after me. And they're like, it's a boy.
How is little Natasha?
She's like, traitor.
Yeah, so Laura comes up and asks Stark to fix their tractor. And so she must have known that Fury was around.
Oh, yeah. No, she knows.
Okay.
And then we see Fury come along and be Nick Fury.
Well, yeah.
Because that's his thing, being Nick Fury.
The whole thing with Romanov and the graduation ceremony and the sterilization.
Okay. Yes, this is another huge item of contention for a lot of people, and I've been hearing a lot about this lately. So I went into the movie specifically looking at this part and watching how it played out. And I don't quite agree with how a lot of people interpreted this scene. So the part that we're about to talk about is the graduation scene was where, as a final step, the Black Widow recruits, the Red Room recruits, are sterilized so that they will not have any attachments going forward other than their loyalty to presumably Soviet Russia at the time and be able to just kill without remorse, not be attached to anything, whatever. And then she says, so I guess you're not the only monster on the team. The way that a lot of people have interpreted the scene is that she views herself as a monster because she's infertile. She can't have kids.
That's not the way I took it.
That's not the way I took it either. I took it as because she was able to kill with remorse, because it was easier for her to kill with remorse and everything like that. She sees herself as a monster because of that.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until she got out of that.
You mean without remorse?
Yeah, without remorse. And it wasn't until she got out of that and was able to see how the light side is, how what she was missing and everything, that she started to see herself as a monster.
That's the way I took it as well.
And is this the second or the third? Okay, so this would be the third Avenger that she's had ties with. Hawkeye, friends, I guess, friend-zoned, and then Cap in the last Winter Soldier movie, flirting up close, as Cap says, and then Banner asks, what do you mean? And then in this movie, Banner, she's getting around a little bit.
I'm going to shoot you down right now.
Because ditto.
She has made a point of being friends with these guys,
yeah,
both of them, but there's no indication that there's ever been any sort of romantic relationship.
No, she tried, though.
No, I would argue that she didn't. She, yes, is flirty, but does that necessarily mean anything? That's just kind of how she is.
Banner had to back away from her, though.
Because she's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to actively pursue this because this is for me. This isn't me playing a role. This isn't me just messing with somebody like, say, she was with Cap. This is me doing something for me. And that unnerved him.
Unnerved him why?
Because
he can't understand anyone seeing him that way. He sees himself as a monster and he doesn't know what would draw anybody to him.
All right.
Oh, Andy in the chat brought up that there's no mention of Coulson. In our most recent episode, I think it was a news item that Joss Whedon said that for him, Coulson is still dead.
Yeah.
So, boo.
Going into Avengers Age of Ultron, we knew that we would not get mention of Coulson because of Whedon's stance on it. In that article, Whedon said that bringing back Coulson to life definitely diminished his dying in Avengers. And so, in his mind, Coulson would always be dead.
And this is another thing Whedon is wrong about. And by the way, when we got out of the movie, I was talking to my husband and he's like, I'm kind of disappointed there wasn't more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-ins. I'm thinking, you know,
okay, for a minute, when they were talking about this awesome hacker that was stopping Ultron, I was like, maybe it's Sky.
Right.
Right.
And when they were talking about all the stuff. Okay. So Theta Protocol. Do y'all think that it's the new Avengers Academy there at the end?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. So it's new Avengers facility. Is it a new facility for the Avengers or a facility for new Avengers?
For new Avengers. I like to think that it's a facility for new Avengers.
I know. But I like that you could take it both ways.
Right. But Theta Protocol, I think Theta Protocol is going to be different because we didn't see Patton Oswalt anywhere in this movie.
And that's another thing that Scott was saying. He was like, why couldn't we have just seen, like, at the very end, just a Koenig in the background?
Yeah, just walking around with a little iPad of his own.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Yep.
That would have been amazing.
So, yeah, I think it's two different things. Who knows? We might find out that that's wrong, but there were a lot of tie-ins. I mean, the fact that they were at Sokova to begin with, that was a direct tie-in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. At least the storyline building up to it actually didn't originate in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it was there.
Yeah, Fury coming back. Of course, they were building up to that again in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we'll get Sam Jackson again in the finale.
Yeah, he's mentioned he's willing to come back. I think it's just a money thing. So.
Yeah, I think it might be more of a time thing.
Where did Fury get all of his people to staff that helicarrier?
Well, it was just people that were... Okay, so...
Maybe that was Theta Protocol.
Maybe.
Is this the real S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, it's what's left. I mean, it was a mothballed carrier.
Oh, no. By the way, first of all, that is the same carrier from the first...
Yes.
Avengers. It's the same number. And the guy that's on there...
Yes.
I was watching. I'm like, why does this guy look so familiar? The guy that's kind of operating it and everything. That's the guy that...
Agent 13. How Agent dare 13. You get that wrong? It's Agent 13.
I know. There was a 3 in there. I got confused.
13.
Okay. That Sharon Carter. I'm just going to use people's names instead of their code names because apparently that's easier. That Sharon Carter saves in Winter Soldier.
Right. And I was lamenting the fact that we didn't get any Agent 13 in this movie as well. So I...
That would have been cool.
Yeah, I really hope we get Emily Van Camp back because we're going to need her at some point in time.
She's got some free time now.
Yeah, Revenge got canceled, so that frees her up to show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, can't wait till next year or whenever we get to see her again. Yum. But yes, that is absolutely correct. It's the same guy that was in Winter Soldier and refused to push the button to kill... they were launching missiles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, not much. It was a skeleton crew on board that. And Fury did say he was going to do something dramatic. Well, he did.
That was pretty dramatic.
I have to say this. Both Chris and I independently did this, and we were talking about it this morning as he was podcasting on ATGN. When the carrier showed up, the helicarrier showed up at the end battle, I literally, in my seat, did a fist pump. And as Chris says, like Data did in Star Trek, I said, yes. And he said he did the same thing. He did a fist pump and he said, yes. So I'm like, wow. And we weren't in the theater together or anything, but and that was a good save for the helicarrier to come back.
I was surprised we saw a helicarrier and we didn't see it crash.
That's true.
Well, it had all those people. It had to save them. You can't crash a helicarrier.
You could do a crash landing.
Yeah. That's been done before in Star Trek with the D. Anyway.
Anyways.
So, the end fight. That was great.
Okay, I have a quick question for Lauren about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Did Magneto do a similar thing? Didn't he float a city up and turn it into an asteroid?
Yeah, that's Asteroid M.
Okay, so basically, Ultron is the Magneto of the MCU. He's Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver's figurative father, and then they turn on him.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
I mean, not like really, but kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of look at it like that.
Got to do what you can do with the rights you've got.
And then he floats the city, and that except that Magneto wasn't going to like turn it into a comedy, as far as I know. He
was going to destroy the planet with it.
Well,
most of it.
Yeah, he was just using it to, like, float it as a mutant city, though.
Yeah. Okay.
That was pretty cool at the end when you had the Avengers all back-to-back in the church, chapel, whatever, trying to protect the button with all those murder bots coming around.
Yeah, I'm just a sucker for that sort of thing, so.
And Hulk literally chewing them up and spitting them out.
It was amazing slow-mo, and I was amazed throughout the entire thing that there wasn't just an errant murder bot body thrown up onto the button. So I just thought it would happen in that situation, but it didn't.
Yeah, you know that you can't control it that well. Well, maybe Quicksilver could just run interference, clear out the debris.
It, the fight scenes in this were great. Like the flying boxcar or truck thing.
I laughed so hard because that looked ridiculous.
It did. I was like, okay, so now we've got a flying truck. That was a little bit Transformer-ish. I don't know.
Well, you know.
I was cackling. That looked so...
It did. But so that fight was pretty good. The fight at the beginning was pretty good. The fight in the Avengers Tower was good. The fight... in the, I want to say asteroid, Sokova, whatever, meteor, whatever you want to call it, the flying city.
Flying Sokova.
Yeah, it was, visuals well done. And in a 3.5 hour cut movie, I wonder how much more that we missed out of it.
So, you know who we've barely talked about?
Vision.
Vision.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh.
He was born yesterday, you know.
Just, wow, okay. So I wasn't sure what all I was expecting them to do with Vision. I loved Vision. I loved how he got his namesake. I loved how he decided on the cape. Because I was like, why does he have a cape? I mean, I know he does in the comics.
Because he thinks it's cool.
But him looking at Thor and being like, I want to look like my dad.
I want a cape.
I like that he was just floating around. You know, in the comics, you see bodies floating around all the time. We actually get that in this movie. It was really cool.
The reason why he has the gem in his forehead, I love that. I love just the whole integration of Jarvis with this weird otherworldly presence.
I was so confused as how he was created, too, because like he had three different parties in there. They were all battling each other. And then Thor just comes in and said, boom, I'm deciding we're going to make it. And I'm like, what actually happened here? I'm still confused as to how that happened.
Okay, so there. Okay, let me try. Okay, Haley, jump in and correct me if I am wrong on how I'm interpreting this. So science bros are like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to put Jarvis in this body so that we can have super awesome robot on our side and prove everything right and do this right this time.
Right.
And then Cap and Scarlet Witch are like, no, this is terrible. Why can't you ever learn? So then Quicksilver pulls the plug and is like, this argument is stupid. I ended this argument. And then Thor is like, bam, lightning. I ended this argument. Meet my robot son.
Okay. So a couple things I would add to that. They were like, what? One murder bot is not enough. We got to have a second one.
Right.
And the other thing is, at the very beginning of the movie, they told you that Jarvis is the one that could have stopped Ultron. So we've got to get him back in the game.
Okay.
Yeah. So they want Jarvis Murderbot on their side.
Yes.
But then they created awesome Space Godbot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, out of Jarvis plus Infinity Stone.
Right.
So it's like half robot, half god.
Yes. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
What was Ultron to begin with? He was code inside the mind control gem or something?
A little bit, but...
He's the mind gem... And Tony's program, but warped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he's gone a little crazy.
Okay, so what I saw was, for someone's reasoning, why Ultron went warped and Vision didn't, is that because he had no personality before that, because he was literally just born and exposed to these horrible things that he's supposed to be preventing the world against, that informed his paranoia and his anger and everything. Whereas Vision is based on Jarvis, who has a years-long personality and has had time to learn and develop and get used to people. And that's why he's a bit more well-adjusted.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Guys, is this code green? And also, afterwards, Banner is listening to Beats. I mean, what the heck? Beats are not good headphones. They aren't.
But they paid to be in the movie.
Right. Tony, right. I think Tony bought them because they're the flashiest thing he could get.
There's flashier and more expensive and better.
See, if I was going to buy the Hulk something, if I was going to buy Bruce Banner something to calm him down, I'd buy him those headphones that are shaped like pandas, because there's nothing more calming than pandas on your ears.
I'll remember that. Nothing more calm.
Maybe koalas. Just something vaguely animal, bear-shaped. I don't know.
I think you'd want to get the Hulk earbuds, so if he Hulks out, he doesn't like snap them in half. Like he's going to do with those Beats.
I think they're all toast no matter what, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the earbuds will like get lost inside of his ears, and that might just make him angrier.
Be like a fly buzzing in his ear.
Hulk with ear infection? No, that's not good.
That's how you bring him down.
give him vertigo. Yeah.
Oh, that'll just make him angrier.
I know.
But at least then he'll be incapacitated.
I was a little disappointed in the final battle when Falcon wasn't there.
Me too! So Rhodey comes out and I'm like, okay, yeah, show me Falcon. And then he never showed up. And I was kind of sad.
Because that's perfect, because you could have used another guy flying around shooting down murder bots.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Maybe they were worried it'd look like War Machine and Falcon would look too similar, you know, just like the gray robot flying guys.
No, the other guy has wings. It's cool.
I don't know. Maybe they thought they had too many people around already.
It would have been great.
Maybe he was busy, the actor.
They're both in the new Avengers facility at the end, right?
Hey, you know what? He was busy chasing down the lead on that cold missing person's case.
I will accept. Another thing that Joss Whedon is wrong about, apparently he wanted to kill off Bucky.
No!
I know.
So I am
wrong.
I'm going to say this for the first time. I'm glad Joss is leaving the MCU because it's so much better this way.
Don't kill Bucky, I say, looking at my Pop Funko Bucky figure and wearing my Bucky hoodie.
They've already killed Bucky once. How many times do you have to kill Bucky?
I don't know. How many times does Bucky die in the comics?
Like at least once more, but then he comes back because he wasn't really dead.
I know Cap
got
dies.
Better.
Got better.
Everybody dies. Everybody gets better. It's fine.
I want to throw out an honorable mention to Friday, which is pretty cool.
Okay. So first of all, two things. When he's picking out the new AI for his suit, one of the ones that can be seen in the background is Jocasta, who is another AI from the comics who's basically Vision's wife. I mean, Ultron's wife. And also my car is named after her. And the other thing is that the whole time I was listening, I'm like, this voice is familiar. It turns out I stayed all the way through the credits because I did not trust Joss Whedon.
Right. I didn't either.
When I'm looking, I'm like, okay, who voices Friday? Carrie Condon, who you might know as Octavia from Rome, who you might know from Halt and Catch Fire. She's a really good actress. She's pretty great.
Love her voice.
Yes. I was hoping that it would be Pepper, but, you know, I'll take Carrie Condon. She's pretty great.
Did it feel like the accent kind of slipped into different things?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it sounded a little Australian at times, a little, like, Scottish at times.
Yeah. It went back and forth between plain English and a couple of different, like, maybe even Australian. I couldn't pinpoint it. It was multiple different things.
Yep.
Yeah, Carrie Condon is, I want to say, Scottish. I'll have to look.
And then another thing that we need to mention is, in the comics, Vision and Scarlet Witch at some point have a relationship.
Carrie Condon is Irish.
Okay.
Really? Relationship?
Yes. Yes. So there were a couple scenes.
Yes. They are married and they have kids.
Wow.
So like there was when right after we get the Vision, there's the scene where everybody's suiting up and Scarlet Witch is staring out the door at the Vision.
Oh. Yes.
And then, you know, Quicksilver throws her coat in her face.
I started giggling there.
And then later, Vision is the one that comes and rescues her and flies her off the crashing city.
Yeah. And I started giggling there, too.
I know. Well, the first time I watched the movie, I didn't see what her eye line was, what it was she was staring at. But then the second time I was like, oh, that's what it is.
She wants to frack that robot.
Right? She saw him naked when he was born.
Right?
And she was like, yeah.
He's not a robot. He's bio.
He is a space god robot.
He's space god bio. Anyway, talking about space. So the Hulk gets in the Quinjet and flies off. And I'm thinking...
I was like, oh, it's a big guy in a tiny car.
Scott started humming the sad walking away Hulk music.
That's perfect.
So I was thinking maybe he's trying to leave the planet. So
I don't want to live on this planet
his
anymore.
His next experience is in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Planet Hulk. See,
no, I don't think the Quinjet can fly off into another galaxy.
Well, he could get high enough into the atmosphere and then the Hulk could jump off of it and... float to a new planet. I don't know.
I think he's going to go live in some third world country for a little while again until they bring the Hulk back.
And another thing, where's Betty Ross? She's still around somewhere, but she's never alluded to at all.
Well, she kind of is with the whole Veronica thing, you know, Betty and Veronica. But yeah, I wish they'd actually done a little bit more of a reference, but hey.
I know Jane and Pepper weren't in the movie, but Betty's
not
even...
name-checked.
Yeah, Betty wasn't even name-checked, so...
We haven't seen her in, like, 7 years now.
Yep.
Since the original movie,
Yeah, she's meh, she's a non-factor at this point.
Even if you recast it from Liv Tyler, I mean, anyway. All right, so that's the bulk of my notes. I know there's a lot more that we've got to cover, and I know you guys got some more stuff, so what do you got, Haley?
I'm trying to look for notes that aren't quotes first.
You're right. Don't burn the quotes yet. Don't burn the quotes.
Everyone was drinking Tony's grass juice when they got back from that first mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew.
The dark mud looking crap. Ew.
Yeah. Which I assume is kale and awful.
Well, it was originally to protect him from that.
From the palladium poisoning.
Yeah. And we didn't really talk about it this time because we've seen it a lot. But the hammer scene was fantastic.
The hammer scene was fantastic.
So Chris in the chat mentioned that they have to get Hulk away for Civil War. He's too powerful to be around, and that's why they did the Planet Hulk story in the comics at the same time.
I can see that. I figured they send him off to be by himself so that they can have Scarlet Witch in these other movies that are coming up and not have to deal with Hulk.
Right. And Andy Migna in the chat said that Friday is now, the actress that plays Friday, or voices Friday, is now Octavia in Better Call Saul. Which I haven't watched, but apparently she's pretty good in that.
Who's Octavia?
No, Octavia. She's Octavia in Rome, and she's now on Better Call Saul, which I need to catch up on. I've watched the first episode and enjoyed it, and I need to catch up a lot.
And then Van Strucker. I mean, it's such a build up for nothing.
Nice seeing you, buddy.
I know that was a disappointment.
I mean, he didn't even fight. Okay, I'm going to surrender. No, I'm never going to surrender. I'm going to surrender. So there's that scene. There's the death scene, and then there's the massive build up from the previous shawarma scene all the way up to here. And it's like, what?
How
many times have we name checked him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like,
Dr. List did get away.
Yes, Dr. List
mentioned Victoria in chat. Yeah. So hey. Maybe that'll be the season finale on S.H.I.E.L.D. Or maybe he'll show up next season, too.
We'll see. Yeah.
That'll be pretty great.
And now that we might have multiple Marvel shows, he could be a floating villain.
Maybe Dr. List, if we do get, fingers crossed, a Kamala Khan TV show, maybe he could take the place of Thomas Edison, the parakeet human.
That's an important point to note, Victoria, because the whole reason for the party, or one of the two main reasons for the party, is that Hydra was gone, but they knew Dr. List was around, and they knew he wasn't in the body count. So, Plot hole. Maybe he
pulled like a Hannibal Lecter and peeled someone's face off, and it was like, oh, look, it's put like a name tag that says Dr. List on there.
Scooby-Doo villain. Okay.
Okay. Wakanda.
Oh, yeah, Wakanda. Wakanda. Oh, my God. I squealed so bad. I was so happy.
I love the ship wrecking yards, too, because that's actually, a lot of people don't realize, that's how ships get dismantled. They actually get beached on these big beaches in Africa, and they're torn apart there because they can do child labor. And they don't have to do the same environmental stuff. So it's a lot cheaper to do it there. That's how it's done.
Oh, to get the Hulk in at the end game, Black Widow pushes him off of a ledge.
I know. I need the other guy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I mean, I guess that could be a good reason for breaking up with someone. Maybe, you know, stealing a plane and leaving without telling him was a bit much, but that, I guess, you know, having someone push you off a ledge is a good reason for breaking up with them.
He wasn't stealing a plane, though. He was going to get Quicksilver's killer. Just ripped him out. Oh, and then Spader's last line. Oh, for the love of... What does he say at the end, Haley? Did you catch that?
What? Who?
Ultron. When Hulk goes up into the plane to kill the last Ultron bot.
I don't remember. At the end of the movie, I wasn't taking as thorough of notes.
It's like, oh, for the love of God.
Yeah. It was like, and it wasn't the last because Vision killed the last one, but.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, I loved Spader in this. He was just so good.
He was excellent. Great.
I came back and I was like, I need more. So I started finally watching The Blacklist, which is basically Ultron and Hannibal Lecter had a baby and it's James Spader.
So in all, he's not the most charismatic guy in panels, whatever, almost sheepish, and he tries to come off quippy, but it doesn't work. I've seen a couple of panels with him, and maybe this movie, after it comes out, people will take it in the right light and whatever, but
he's an actor, he's just not quite as much good in person.
Right. So there was that, and then there was all the trailers that came out. I'm like, I'm not into this Ultron guy, but this movie, I'm like, I actually like Ultron as a villain. It's just very well played. It's like a bad kid that's just misunderstood sort of thing. And
he's kind of crazy too.
Yeah.
I've always liked the whole Frankenstein thing, the whole creation spurned by the creator and decides to get revenge. Just ever since I was little, I've always loved that sort of story. So this really appealed to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get to the quotes, we had been doing something. Last summer, we spent the summer watching all the MCU movies, all 10 of them, and we ranked them, and people said I was wrong. People said Wing was wrong. People even said some of the ladies were wrong from time to time. But we had a list of our favorite 10 Avengers movies, and I'm going to ask you, Haley, where does Avengers Age of Ultron fit in that list of 11 now?
Okay, this is hard for me to do. I still feel like there's a top tier, a middle tier, and a bottom tier, and okay, this definitely goes into the top tier.
Okay.
I don't know if I can place it precisely right now. It's in the top tier. So it's up there with Avengers, Cap 2, Guardians, and the first Iron Man movie.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with being in the top tier. I'm not sure if I can place it right now. I'm looking at the list now, and I think after time has gone by, Guardians of the Galaxy was number 7 on my list. I think that's going to have to go up a little bit. I have tentatively placed Avengers Age of Ultron as number 4. My top 5 was Avengers, Iron Man, Winter Soldier, and then Iron Man 2 was number 5. I'm definitely going to have to flip Avengers Age of Ultron as at least number 4 on that list right now. And like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy will probably go up as well. Lauren, what do you got?
Okay, so granted, this is only after the first viewing. And after time and a few more viewings, who knows how it'll change. But right now, I am going to have to put it at my new number 6. After Guardians of the Galaxy / Iron Man, and before Cap the First Avenger.
Okay. So we'll take some time, we'll solidify that, and before Ant-Man, we'll reconvene this before and after Ant-Man, and we'll say what we think. But I think that's where it's going to have to be for me for now. I definitely want to go see it in the theater again, and I want to see it in the theater without the rush to, oh, I have to take this note for the podcast. I just want to relax and enjoy it and have a good time with it. So that is definitely it. Haley, are you ready for quotes, ma'am?
Let's do some quotes. Everybody sit back.
We're sitting back.
Okay. Language. Wait a second. No one else is going to deal with the fact that Cap just said language.
Yeah. That was separated by a couple minutes.
Well, yeah, but the part in the middle doesn't matter.
True.
And for gosh sake, watch your language. That's not going away anytime soon. Please be a secret door. Please be a secret door. Please be a secret door. Yay.
Yay.
The gates of hell are filled with the screams of his victims.
That was cool.
That was pretty fun.
And he had a backpedal and everyone's
whimpering,
like,
great deal of complaining, torn deltoids.
I love the look that Natasha gives him right after, right before he starts backpedaling, where she's like, no, wrong answer.
And this is probably a quote I'm going to start using a lot. Victory should be honored with revels.
Yes, there should be revels. We should have a revel after this podcast.
We should, or during.
What, you mean you're not?
We didn't really talk about this scene much, but, you know, when Cap and Maria Hill are coming in after the first mission, he's fast and she's weird. And they talk about, you know, they were experimented on by a German scientist. So who would ever let somebody do that? We're not at war, Captain. They are. And I thought that was good.
I did like that he pointed that out.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good conversation between Maria and Cap right there.
Yep.
Is that it?
No. Steve, he said a bad language word.
That did get funny as it went on.
I like it as a running joke. It doesn't really fit with his character as we know it now, but whatever.
Well, he did mention it just slipped out.
Yep. There are conventions. I didn't sell him anything.
That's a sore spot, and it's going to be a sore spot for a long time, right? As long as we know Iron Man.
I know all of your names.
She handled it so well. I like her.
How is little Natasha? She is Nathaniel. Traitor. I'll explain when you're older, Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You don't think they need me. I do, which is a lot scarier. They're a mess. They're my mess.
He really brings the team together.
He does. He's the glue. You're not the director of me.
True. Setting up Civil War there. Yeah.
Guy's multiplying faster than a Catholic rabbit.
I need to start using that line as somebody who's brought up Catholic.
Yeah. That was a great Fury quote. He wasn't in a lot of scenes, but the scenes that he was in, he definitely stole.
Yeah. Outwit the platinum bastard. Steve doesn't like that kind of talk. The most versatile substance on the planet, and they used it to make a frisbee.
Yep.
I'm sending the package to you. How do you want me to take it? You might wish you hadn't asked that. Phrasing.
Total phrasing on that one.
The city is flying, we're fighting an army of robots, and I have a bow and arrow.
I like the view from up here.
As long as there is life in my breast, I am running out of things to say.
Are you ready
yet? I love that.
I know, that scene was so great. Like, he's, you know, totally throwing it up, and he's like, I'm just trying to fill time. Let's do this. Relax, Shellhead. Not all of us can fly.
Yeah. I love that.
I really like that somebody called him Shellhead.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if the Shellhead geeky jerseys are going to come back now, too.
Maybe. And that's where I run out of quotes because I stopped taking notes towards the end. Right.
Okay. Really enjoyed it. If you are listening to this podcast and you just haven't seen the movie yet, or you didn't see it before we podcasted, go ahead, give us a shout out, Facebook, Twitter, on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. Go ahead, give us your few. We will be talking about this for a long time, probably up until Ant-Man. So it is an awesome movie. I would highly recommend that you go see it. And if you've listened to this podcast so far without seeing it, shame on you.
Okay, so this movie, no Black Panther.
Yep.
No Spider-Man.
Yep.
No Captain Marvel.
Yep. All cameos that at one point in time were talked about, or at least, and in some cases, we know were filmed, but not shown.
Oh my God. Yeah. Richard just brought up the whole hiding the green zucchini thing.
Yeah. All right. Are you guys out for now for the movie before we move on to feedback and news and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's plenty.
Okay. So as we move into ratings and feedback, I just want to say that we are part of a network, the GunnaGeek.com network, and there is an official GunnaGeek.com podcast. The latest podcast is number 93, The I What? This week on the Gunna Geek podcast, SP, that's me, geeks out about the Avengers Age of Ultron, open to a $201.2 million foreign box office. Chris questions if the Apple Watch really matters, and Steven laughs at Google peeing on Apple. Finally, the crew has a first in the latest installment of Geek Wars. What do they do? Listen to find out. Well, we don't exactly have any news or ratings, but we do have box office numbers, as was mentioned in the promo I just read. The latest numbers that we have from a Deadline article that came out an hour before we started the podcast was the Avengers Age of Ultron has made $439 million outside of the United States and Canada. So that is their foreign box office numbers. And in a separate article or website, Box Office Mojo stated that in Canada and the US, Avengers Age of Ultron has made $187 million. So you're knocking on $750,000.
$626 million right now.
Yeah.
That's what we're sitting at.
Not even
wow.
12 days out. So amazing. Now, they did spend $250 million making the film. I have no idea how much they spent promoting the film, but I got to say they're probably about even now, if not making money. So that is all good. All right. In the feedback portion, we have a tweet from our listener at Adana Girl, Christy. She tweets us and says, looks like how old is scared to guess Thor's age? He might unleash Mew Mew on it. And it's a picture of Thor and it just couldn't recognize his face. So it didn't want to guess how, how old he really was.
Have either of y'all tried this? The how old .net?
No, I haven't.
No. I don't feel the need to give any more information to Microsoft.
I got curious and tried it. One guessed 28 and one guessed 29, so I feel good about myself.
Yeah, woohoo. I would too. Okay, we have a couple of voicemails. Are you ladies ready to listen to them?
Yep.
Hey guys, it's Adam. Just got back from Age of Ultron, and I am very impressed. I'm not ready to put a number on it on where I think it rates in relation to the other Marvel movies, but towards the top. Now on to the spoilery stuff. I really, really expected them to draw Hawkeye in this movie more and more as the movie went on, but I suppose the Quicksilver thing kind of makes sense. I mean, maybe their arrangement was with Fox was that they would use him once, and then Marvel would get Scarlet Witch, and Fox would keep Quicksilver. So I think that kind of works out. Did not expect Ultron to be nearly as funny and quirky as he was. I mean, who else would call Captain America's shield a frisbee, among other very fun lines? Also, didn't expect the Pinocchio stuff to actually come up in the movie, except maybe as a single throwaway reference. And the Hulkbuster got revenge for Thor on Hulk, so That cracked everyone up, too. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Revenge on Hulk.
I will say that I think, you know, the thing with Fox and Marvel, it's not even an agreement so much as Marvel probably didn't want a competing version of the same character floating around out there.
Yeah, and if there's going to be any deal in the future, you wouldn't want the same character to have to merge at some point.
Well, if there's going to be a deal in the future, both characters have separate histories anyway, so they're going to have to do something, reboot one of the universes at least.
Mm, true.
Which they're kind of already doing with X-Men anyways, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the voicemail, Adam. Really appreciate it. You bring up some great points, some of which we already talked about before, but it was, yeah, Ultron being quirky, definitely. I did not expect that. He actually made the movie for me. It was the one thing about the movie I'm like, I don't know, but you know, it actually totally worked. So that's all cool. Okay, we got one more voicemail, and this is from a little known person from a faraway land called West Virginia. Yes, it is Chris from the Gonna Geek Network and all things good and nerdy. You ladies ready to hear from Chris?
Yep. Yes.
Hey, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew. This is Chris. I just got out of the Avengers last night, and one of my questions I had going in is, I wonder if they're going to reveal what happened to the old helicarrier, because that has been my conspiracy theory since the end of Winter Soldier, that it has to be around there somewhere. And to see it come on screen in Age of Ultron to come and save the day, I kid you not, I literally went, yes, and pumped my fist sitting in my chair. It was like Data from Star Trek Generation. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure you guys are going to go way in depth on the movie and your show this afternoon. My question for you, where do you see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going now with this big reveal? Because to me, it looks like Nick Fury and his remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D. that he gathered up are now part of the Avengers Initiative or the Avengers Project or whatever they're calling it at that new Avengers facility. So Fury's identity and the fact that he's alive is probably back out in the public. So how does this affect Director Coulson and the director board that Gonzalez has put together? Is this going to shake things up even further with the S.H.I.E.L.D. team? Are we going to see a reintegration of Coulson and Fury's teams? Really curious to hear what you guys think. Looking forward to listening to the podcast this afternoon. Bye, guys.
Thanks for giving the voicemail, Chris. That was actually really thought-provoking on where we think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be with this new Avengers facility, because they're literally in the same universe, possibly in the same state even. I have my thoughts on what's going to happen. Haley, what do you think?
I feel like Gonzalez's team is not going to be all gung-ho about letting Fury take over again, because a big part of their issue is that Fury kept secrets, and they feel like that hurt S.H.I.E.L.D. So I don't think they're going to be pro-Fury taking over.
Agreed. Lauren, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be too happy about Fury coming back, but part of me's thinking, what are they going to do to stop him, because it's Nick Fury?
Right, and we don't have confirmation that the Iliad definitely is a helicarrier, but we think it is. So you've got a helicarrier versus a helicarrier at the very least. So, I don't know. And we don't know what's in the hole of the Iliad either. So, yeah. How do I think it's going to impact? It's definitely going to impact.
Yeah. And if this was the last remaining big thing of Hydra, I mean, who's going to be the big villain moving forward?
Well, there's
List. Is List going to be still around? Is it going to be stuff with powered people? What's going to happen? I'm looking forward to finding out, but mm-hmm. I'm curious. Is it going to be Ward?
Right. I'm re-listening while I'm editing our last podcast on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is not out yet for everybody else, so I'm at a slight advantage there. But it was a great episode, and it led into this very well, especially with the Maria Hill Coulson VTC, or whatever you want to call it, at the end. And Gonzalez was not invited in there, and I think maybe we're looking at the Avengers or Fury or Maria Hill or somebody coming in and trying to sweep up Gonzalez's team and get a handle on it, because they're obviously working with Coulson. They're not working with Gonzalez.
Right. And Coulson is a known quantity for them. They don't know what Gonzalez might do or his committee might do.
Yeah, very true. And I just tend to respect Weaver quite a bit, because she went toe to toe with that enhanced, whatever they called it. And so she's got some skill. Who knows about Beardly McBeardless or whatever we called him?
Sin. Beardly McBeardson.
Beardly McBeardson. Okay.
Yes.
So you got him too. So Agent Oliver.
Oh, yeah. He has a name.
That's okay. Just keep calling him what you need to.
Okay.
All right. So thank you very much for your feedback, guys. I'm looking forward to figuring out where this all goes. Just a few days away from our next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm wondering when the tie-in will be. If I remember, the Thor 2 tie-in didn't come for a couple of weeks until after the movie came out. So
I don't think we're going to get another tie-in with the movie. Unless it's just Fury coming in the finale.
See, you had a flying city, and it's too many changes on the face of the earth for it not to have any tie-in whatsoever. So,
but I think the Inhuman stuff they got going on is big enough to take the rest of the season to wrap up.
Right. Agreed. Right. So I don't think it'll be something major, but I think it'll be some sort of, the results of the movie will be shown in the show at some point.
I think they're going to talk about it, but I don't think there's going to be a big tie-in. I don't think there's going to be something major that's going to affect it, unless it's just Fury coming back.
Okay. I would agree with that. So thank you, everybody, that gave your feedback. We really appreciate it. Go ahead, slip us your feedback in the future. We'll gladly talk about it, whether it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil, Agent Carter, or the MCU, or anything else that Marvel plans to throw away, including comics. We might have a comic book surprise this Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. So join us on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, live at GunnaGeek.com/live, as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 20, Scars. And that will be closing in on the last episode, because we just got 3 weeks left of the season. So you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will definitely find us. And also forums, forums.gunnageek.com. I am definitely going to check that before I go to sleep tonight. So go ahead and comment there and we'll get back to you. We are on a multitude of platforms and apps. If we are not available in the app that you like to listen to podcasts on, let me know and I will put it on there. Predominantly on Spreaker, Mixcloud, iTunes, Stitcher, all the great places, including our main website, GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all our back episodes. So thanks very much for listening. I appreciate you for listening. Haley, what you got?
Thank you to the guys that sent us a voicemail this week, Chris and Adam. We really appreciate those. It gives us something to listen to besides our own voices. So thank you.
Lauren?
Thank you for everybody who's contacted us on Twitter, Christy, this week. And continue to contact us on Twitter. We love it.
And we love you live tweeting.
Yes, well, I love doing it.
It would have been great to get you live tweeting the Avengers.
Maybe once it's getting ready to go out of theaters, so I could be like the only person in the theater. I'll be just like in the back row.
Yeah, that'd be great. Awesome. Well, thanks again. And until Wednesday, which is our next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
Okay, I have chased away the squeaky cat.
Squeaky cat!
He sits by the door.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
There we go. I turned the wrong knob.
She said.
There are so many knobs.
I know. There's like, I don't know, 50 of them.
Yeah, the squeaky cat sits by the bedroom door, which is right by my desk, and squeaks at the door because Scott is in the bedroom playing Dark Souls. I spent yesterday getting a tattoo.
Yay!
Oh, I haven't seen your tattoo yet.
Oh, okay. Let me link it. There. I linked it in the chat.
Ba-ba-ba. It's nice.
Right?
Yeah. I like the color. I mean, it's rich with color. I love tattoos that are rich with color.
I like that.
Yeah. This guy, his stuff is amazing. So totally worth it. I figure in maybe a year or so, I'll do the other side of the light side skull.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool. And then you could do a Darth Vader crushed mask in the middle.
That would be kind of cool.
From the light to the dark and back again.
Yeah, I figure maybe the other side do like an R2 skull.
And the monkey flips the switch.